In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Welcome back to Word for Life. This is Pastor John Fallahy at Brookside Baptist Church. By the way, sometimes visit us. We're over on Pilgrim Road in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And you can see us online at brooksidebc.org. Just click on the live streaming link when we're having services, or watch one of our previously recorded sermons. This week, we are studying James chapter 2 on the theme of partiality. And we left off last time on James 2:1 about, "My brethren, do not hold to the faith of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with partiality." Now, this theme of partiality, it's everywhere in the Scriptures. In the New Testament, this word appears three other times. Let me see if you recognize some of these passages. Romans chapter 2, verse 11, "For there is no partiality with God." How about Ephesians 6, 9, "And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." Colossians 3:25, "But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality." That's referring to God's judgment. And then we come to James 2:1, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." Do you see the theme here? Our Creator shows no partiality. That's a good thing. If you've experienced partiality, favoritism in the negative, this is a glorious truth. But realize that because God shows no partiality, He sees the situation as it really is. Not how you want it to be, but what is actual truth. And this theme of partiality, God being impartial, is all throughout the Scriptures. Let me give you some more passages just to think about, to understand how impartial God really is. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. "For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." You know, people don't really think about this bribe concept when it comes to God. But if you look at every false religion, a religion of works, that's exactly what they're trying to do. Think about it. They're trying to say, "Hey God, here's my good works. Let me into heaven." The problem is all those works are tainted with sin. It's not the best of the best. It's not perfect. It falls woefully short of God's standard. In addition to that, God says you are not saved by any work. You are saved by faith, faith alone. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works." Romans 4:5 talks about how God rescues and saves and justifies the ungodly. Someone doesn't make themselves godly first and then is suddenly acceptable to God. No, you come to God as a sinner, begging, pleading, and acknowledging that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. So this concept of God being impartial is at the heart of righteousness. This is who our God is. And if you think you can come to God with your best works, He's going to be impartial. And He's going to look at those works, and this is what He's going to say. They fall short. "Look at my son. That is the only perfect work in this universe. And that's the only work, that's the only currency that I accept in heaven." And He'll say, "Depart from me." Acts 10:34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality.'" Now, the context of here is going to the Gentiles. Peter had a vision, and he had to be reminded by God that in the eyes of God, Jews and Gentiles all need salvation. And that Peter would be the first ambassador from Christ to go to the Gentiles, specifically Cornelius, to share the good news. And when he did, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon Cornelius and the whole household, and they began speaking in tongues, confirming that the gift of the Holy Spirit had come upon Gentiles as it did on Pentecost to the Jews. In other words, God's not impartial. He loves the Gentile as much as he loves the Jew, and he saves both. Romans 2:11 through 12. For there is no partiality with God. As many have sinned without the law, also will perish without the law. And as many have sinned in the law, they will be judged by the law. In other words, there's no escape. All of us must face God. 1 Peter 1:17 through 19. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I love this picture. Without partiality, he's going to judge us. And if you're not saved by the work of Christ, and you are trusting in the work of yourself or of man, or you're trusting a denomination or a priest or something else, then you are woefully going to fall short, because God will judge you based on whether you have faith in Christ alone or not. But let's continue on this idea of partiality through the Old Testament. There's some other very interesting passages that shows you that God is impartial, but he does want certain things a certain way. Genesis 4:3, you might remember Cain and Abel. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Now, at first blush, you may say, hey, God's being partial. He's saying, I have a favorite offering, Abel's offering. I don't like Cain's offering, so I'm going to show some partiality. That is a completely wrong way to look at this text. The truth of the matter is, God had already established what sacrifices he would accept. He's God. He makes the rules. And he says, I want a sacrifice of a lamb. I want the sacrifice to be bloody, because that pictures what one day Jesus Christ would do, be the Lamb of God who would lay down his life for sinners. And so when Abel brings the sacrifice, God accepts it. But when Cain gives his sacrifice, and by the way, if you look at the text, it's not even the best of the best. It's low-hanging fruit. It's stuff he just picked up off the ground. This is not acceptable to God. And so he did not respect Cain and his offering. Now, Cain was very angry, and the countenance of his face fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now, God is intervening. He sees the anger in Cain. He does not want Cain to take this anger out. So he comes, condescends to Cain, and pleads with him. Recognize that there's sin in your life at your door, and if you don't get it under control, it will control you. And then we read, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. This is premeditated murder. Cain calculated and killed his brother. Why? Because of sin. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone find him should kill him. You know, even after Cain killed his brother, the Lord shows mercy. God is impartial. We have to be careful when we see God taking actions that we don't look at it through our own biased eyes. Because you could look at the situation and say that God is partial towards Abel and his sacrifice. And that's not the case at all. God has a standard which he upholds. And in that respect, he is impartial and he judges righteously. But let me take you to another example. Genesis 15:7. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. Why did he choose Abraham? I mean, of all the people in the world, he chose Abraham. Isn't that partiality? Not at all. In fact, we read later in scriptures, I'm just going to paraphrase, but, you know, Abraham and his people were the least of the people. So when God makes choices, it's not based on the character of Abraham. It's not based on any of these external things. It's a free will choice within God that he just makes, and it's a righteous choice. It's easy, though, to look at it from our perspective and say, oh, God's showing partiality. He's showing favoritism. Well, that, unfortunately, is a misjudgment of God. Nehemiah 9:7. You are the Lord God who chose Abraham and brought him out of Ur of Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. In other words, this was a simple, righteous choice by God for no other reason than that's what he wanted to do. Now, out of the chosen seed became a chosen nation, one nation. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Now, this is another one that many people get stumped over. They look at the two sons, Jacob and Esau, and they're born. We know that Esau was born first and Jacob grabbed his heel. And this conflict continued throughout their life. But if you look at the parents, they too were partial. We know that Isaac favored Esau's stew, and we know Rebekah favored Jacob. And if you go to other passages in the scripture, we even have passages say, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. And you could walk away thinking that God was showing partiality. But that would be a misunderstanding of the biblical text. What's really going on is God is choosing a line which his son, Jesus Christ, would come through. And he's making this choice on his own personal choice, his own free will. And he's not doing this for any other reason than his own will. This is so important. The truth is, God loved Jacob and God loved Esau. Now, it's true later, Esau's people become idolatrous and God later would judge them. But when he made this choice, he was making them on his own free will before any of them had done any good or evil. And it was his way of saying, look, you cannot control who the line of Christ is going to come through. That is up to me. And that is what's really going on in this scene. So there's some more passages we're going to pick up in our next session, continuing on this theme of partiality. Ask God to help you see where maybe you are partial towards others, where you're judging others by the surface, by the external. Ask God to help you love others for who they are inside. And for the lost people around you in your life, ask God to give you the love for the lost as he had for you, as you were once lost as well. If you're looking for our show notes, email us at wfl@brooksidebc.org, and we'll send you our PowerPoint with our notes. Until then, continue to walk in the Lord.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.